hello and welcome to the Church Office Podcast. My name is Gavin Smith, and it's a joy to welcome you to this administration, admin and ops podcast. We love talking about the ministry that happens behind the scenes, and it's a thrill to invite guests on. And today we've got Phil Topham from the FIC. How are you doing, my friend?
Good to be with you, Gavin. Thanks so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
It's great to have you on, and we've developed a bit of a friendship for the last couple of years, and I remember sitting in the pub with you saying, we need to talk about church administration. And I was, do you remember that convo?
I'm delighted we did it. It was just so great to meet you. I was so glad you reached out to us, because I think this is something that churches need the most help with in ministry, because I think we know what we're doing, don't we, in terms of preaching preparation and running kind of ministries, but actually when it comes to administration, this is perhaps the area that perhaps churches are least set up to do well. And I just thought there's a great opportunity for us at FIEC to link up with yourselves at the church office, just to see how we could help churches with some of this. So I think I bought you lunch December 2022, and the rest is history.
It's just flown by, isn't it? And you guys invited me to the conference, your FIC conference. And we did a seminar in there, didn't we, to leaders, how to do nothing. Have you had much feedback from folk
people loved it, mate. People loved it. So, I mean, there was two or three seminars that kept coming back in the feedback as being really helpful. And yours was one of them. So just take great comfort in that. You definitely wasn't a boring administrative seminar. People really appreciated it. And I mean, this is an area that church leaders are thinking about, but often don't know where to start. And I think you are able to help them begin to think that through. And I hope in God's kindness, our partnership will continue to help church leaders think wisely through that whole area of good administration.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And I've been contacted by so many FIC pastors since the conference. And I think one of the interesting things that's come out, and I think this is happening broader across, not just in FIC, but in other denominational groups, is that there's people saying to me, we recognize the importance of it, but we've never, ever had a role in our church or appointed someone to do this before. And there's a little bit of kind of unease. There's a little bit of, we've got to persuade the elders, the trustees, and in some structures, they've got to persuade the whole church that this is going on. And so the conversation has started a lot more, isn't it? And have you found that you've engaged with lots of churches who are now taking this seriously and going, okay, I need to start thinking about an appointment of some kind?
Yeah, I think perhaps not the latter, but certainly the former. So I might not have had many conversations yet about considering a worker particularly, but in terms of getting this right, yes, that is definitely increasingly the case. Yeah. I mean, I think what we're seeing, unfortunately, in our culture is that there is a skepticism around charities, and churches are charities. So therefore, that means, sadly, there's then a skepticism about churches. So I think making sure that your administration is right and that you've got the right policies in place and that you're thinking wisely about those matters, which, to be honest, you pray will never be a problem. But if they do become a problem, you've got something in place which will help you to navigate those problems well. I think, churches are increasingly seeing the importance of that and recognizing that they've got to skill up. I use the phrase, I think churches need to policy up. And what I mean by that is just get things in place that will help them in their work and ministry. And churches are definitely seeing the importance of that. I think perhaps where I'm not seeing as much of it is in terms of specified roles for administrators in churches, or it's somebody's kind of sideline. Whereas actually your role at Christchurch Newport, for example, would be a paid role, an important role, seen as a clear role in terms of that, how the church operates and functions. That's probably as much to do with resources as anything else, Gavin. Where do churches put those scarce, in many cases, financial resources? Is a worker thinking about the administrative side of church life seen as a priority when actually there are thousands of people who need to hear about Jesus, and it might not always be where churches want to put their money? So it'd be good to get your thought on that, because why should churches put money into that rather than into another, an evangelist or another ministerial role? What should that look like?
Yeah, I think it's a good question, and I love chatting to leaders about it. And you know, I've been helping two churches in the last week just kind of consider that question of, do we want to put a resource into a full-time you know, person, or even a part-time person as an administrator? And I think one of the beauties about church administration is that it doesn't just develop one area of ministry. It actually can help grow and help the whole church. So you bring an administrator on board, you find communication improves in lots of areas, you find your kids' ministry runs with more effectiveness, we find you know, other ministry areas can start, we're supporting people better to do what they've been called to do. And so you start to find that actually that the help is really, really broad. And so we helped one church put in just an administrator for two mornings a week, just 6 hours, which wasn't a huge amount of money, probably for a church of about 100. And the leader came back to me, and we worked through the job description, we worked through the hire, we supported them through the steps that they needed. And then they came back and were like, this has changed everything. Our church is functioning better. He felt as a pastor that he was more released from the administrative burden, which meant that he was focusing much more on his. And so there's this kind of releasing, and that's what we see in Acts 6, isn't it? We see some of those principles. And I love that. And I think, you know, they've now increased that to four mornings a week and are seeing the benefit. And so I think it's one of those things that we don't have to go straight to a full-time role. I think it's one of these things that actually there's probably people in our church who could give 2 or 3 hours a week, you know, at a pay that's, you know, acceptable, that actually could make a really big difference into a church life. And and I think elders are engaging much more on that. And you know, I'm a big advocate for church leaders who say they need to get an assistant. But what they seem to do is they pass their administration work on to their assistant. And all the assistant does is he wants to do what you're doing, because that's what he's been trained to do. And then you're giving him all the administration. And so relationally, those things start to break down, and we see people move to other churches and different roles. And actually, by having somebody in a role that we can pass things to, just makes everything better. So I'm a big advocate for hiring, you know, second hire should be an administrator. So we'll put it out there, mate. And maybe some FIC churches will take that on board. I don't know.
Excellent. No, you said that to me when you came on our podcast, that actually that should be the next hire. And I think that is a great challenge to lay down, isn't it? Yeah,
I think it is. And I think there needs to be a broader approach to ministry. That if we only see ministry as being, you know, a teaching, preaching pastor, then we may have missed it, and we may be missing some really good people that actually have a sense of call, but that maybe they don't have a public gift or a public ministry that they can be released into, but actually they could really serve in this area of church management.
I bet if you had a pound for every time on your podcast somebody had said, of course, administration is a spiritual gift, you'd probably be a very rich man. But it is, isn't it? But it's probably one of the spiritual gifts we underplay, I think. You know, and I think that we do that to our detriment. I think that's increasingly the case, as I say, in our current culture.
Yeah, that's true. So tell us a little bit about your role, Phil, at FIC. Love to find out a bit more about what you do. What is it? Give us your title and a bit of a description of what that looks
like. Well, the title's very grand. It's executive director, but what it basically means is that I'm responsible for the operation of the charity, basically. So I look after some of the staff who are our line manage. I make sure that we're doing our governance properly, you know, with others. I make sure that I'm thinking about fundraising. So one of my key roles is inviting new churches to join the FIC. So we're not a fundraising charity, but our member churches donate to the charity. So that's where our funding stream is. So yes, I'm not a fundraiser by any stretch, but a lot of my work is about, you know, talking to churches about FIEC membership. And so I'm doing that this coming Sunday. I'm off to visit a couple of churches, one in the morning, one in the evening, to do just that. So it's quite varied. It also involves, you know, dealing with some of the high level administrative matters that you would imagine. So budgeting, dealing with grievances, All those kind of matters. So I sometimes joke that I'm a high level dog's body. What I mean by that is a lot comes across my desk. So I was out of the office on Tuesday. I came back in, it was actually not just Tuesday, Monday afternoon and Tuesday, various meetings, and I took some toilet on Tuesday, so I wasn't in. And I came back into kind of 75 emails on Wednesday morning that needed actioning and dealing with. So it is administrative in that sense. But bluntly, my role is to free our national director, John Stevens, up, so that he doesn't have to do that administration. It's interesting what you say. Yeah. So I can sometimes be described as an assistant to him, but actually that very much an administrative assistant. So there's no sense in which I'm fighting for the national director role. What I am able to do is free him up to do that role as he engages with churches, as he engages with other Christian charities, as he writes, as he's doing at the moment, a commentary on the Psalms, for example. This is how it works.
Yeah, no, it's great. So it sounds very similar to, you know, lots of kind of church managers. You know, I think about Becky Thomas, what she does.
Yeah,
you know, these are the same things, but you're doing it, you know, in a slightly different role. How many churches have FIC got on their membership now? How many are you guys serving?
Yeah, I mean, it depends how you count them. So if you count the charitable entities that are part of FIC, it's just shy of 600. But actually, in terms of gatherings of the Lord's people, so you might find that one church is a church that meets in two places, but it's under the same charity number, for example, we'd be at between 640 and 650. And that would include, for example, church plants that are still under the auspices of the mother church while they move towards independency, for example. So there'd be a couple of dozen that would be in that position. So yeah, so charitable entities is just under 600, about 597, 598, I think. But then actual kind of church gatherings, if you walked in and say, this is a church that I could be part of, yes, you'd be talking about 650, just shy of.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, that keeps you busy, doesn't it?
Yeah. I'm sure. And all across Great Britain. So England, Scotland and Wales. And we've got one in Northern Ireland. We might want more in Northern Ireland. Let's see how we get on. So, there we go.
That's great. And for people who don't know what the FIC does, you know, you tell us a little bit about some of your conferences and resources, things that you're doing to serve churches. Love to hear that.
Yeah, so FIC is a fellowship, that's what the F stands for, of independent, that's the I, evangelical churches. So all of our churches are independent. By that we mean they are self-governing. We believe that's the biblical model of church. So they have an eldership or pastor, deacons, whatever that model looks like. They would all be independent with their own responsibilities to the Charity Commission. For example, as independent charities. So all of our churches are independent. But the problem with independency is you then haven't got the support of a denominational structure to help you think through some of the bigger things, to guide you when problems occur and to give you help and advice. So basically, we provide some of that support to churches that are independent in their governance. So we have, for example, a block contract with ACAT, which is the Association of Church Accountants and Treasurers. So if you become an FIEC church, you immediately have access to, accounting and finance support from ACAT, for example. And we've got staff members who can serve churches in a whole variety of areas in their work and ministry to help them think through, for example, church planting or training new leaders or what it would mean to appoint a women's worker. We've got care for pastors' wives. We've got administrative help for churches thinking about governance. We've got a communications team that puts our resources out to churches and engages with them. But yes, we also run conferences for church leaders. So the big one would be the Leaders Conference, which is up in Blackpool every November. That's the one you did your really helpful seminar at back in November 2023. But we also run conferences in other areas. So we've got local conferences, which are conferences for leaders in different geographical parts of Britain. We're running 27 of those during 2024. There are conferences for women in ministry, ministry wives. So in all these ways, we're seeking to serve churches. However, we're able to do that. And of course, FIEC is its churches. So if churches are asking for specific help in particular areas, we want to respond to that need as well. So we're doing some work this year, particularly thinking about what does it mean to integrate different cultures into church. So I'm helping to put together an intercultural team You know, one of our members of staff is of Pakistani heritage. He's helping me with that. We're going to draw in other church leaders from, you know, perhaps Caribbean backgrounds or African backgrounds. You know, how do we help churches to think wisely and well about integrating different cultures in their churches? That's a presenting need, and we want to help address that. So there's just I just plucked a whole bunch of threads there, but that's the kind of stuff we do.
It's good, and what I've experienced with the FIC is just a huge generosity, and for listeners who are in and you haven't connected with the FIC, then please do, please check out their website, please check out some of their resources. It's a thrill for us as a church office to partner with you guys. So tell us a little bit, why choose the church office? What was your thinking about this whole area? Well, we know it's important, we know the subject's important, but
I think this is what was coming through time and time again from our churches and church leaders was, you know, we love your ministry resources, we love your conferences, we love the things that you put out to help us with our ministry. But actually the big gap is in this whole area of how we operate an independent charity. That's where there's a gap. So back in 2018, FIEC helped set up Edward Connor Solicitors, which is kind of a legal firm which can help churches with you know, stuff that's in the legal realm of running a charity.
Yeah, but the CIOs and stuff.
Absolutely. Employment law, all that kind of stuff. But there is a gap because not everything is legal. So there's some stuff that is governance in terms of the correct operation of a charity, but doesn't reach the kind of legal threshold. It's sub-legal. So if you wanted to pay a lawyer to do that work, it's going to cost you a fortune because actually it doesn't quite meet that level. So we were thinking, how can we help churches in that sub-legal area of governance? And at that time, you got in touch with me to say, look, have you heard of the church office? I hadn't done. We looked at it. You know, back to that in the pub in December 2022, we started to talk about what that might look like. And actually, your generosity in using your kind of lockdown time to turn all of Christchurch's policies into templates that other churches could use, I just thought, why would we not want to embrace that and give churches a starting point to begin to think about how they can hone those policies for their own setting? And thus the partnership was kind of born there. And during 2023, we were able to formalize that. And I'm delighted we have done, because I think it's an area of ministry that will only grow, because I think it's going to have to, in terms of the way, you know, charities are viewed, as I was saying earlier, and all that kind of thing. So actually having some policies that are there that churches can take hold of and that they can work into their own setting, I just think is really, really helpful. And also, bluntly, Christchurch is a church that, although not FIEC yet, could be. So therefore, you understand independency. You are an independent church. So all of that is the reason we would choose the church office, because you're in the same kind of stable as us. So it's very straightforward from that perspective as well. And when are Christchurch joining FIEC, Gav?
Hey, you should reach out to our elders. I tell you, I'll send you Bob McCann.
Yeah, email. There we are.
I told him I was doing a podcast with you today, and he's like, "You know that question's going to come."
Yeah.
I said, "Yeah,
there it is. There it is. What are we? 18 minutes in. There it is. Yeah,
18 minutes." And he's obviously a good fundraiser. He's trying to recruit us already.
There we are.
I love it. It's a thrill to partner together, and we share the same heart to serve churches, and that is my heart. What can we do? Governance is getting harder, and you know, there are it's just more and more difficult and to navigate some of these things. And so it's good to be able to kind of stand alongside people who are in churches who don't have the support or another person to chat this stuff through, actually to go and get a template, to speak to someone on the phone. I love what Becky Thomas is doing. It just makes people just, you know, have a place so they can go. The FIC churches can pick up the phone, speak to Becky. You just get a little bit more confidence, a little bit more clarity of what the next step is. And if when we know what the next step is, you know, we can do it, which is great. So mate, it's a thrill to partner together. One of the things that we've been chatting about as a church office team is how do we identify the gift of administration in somebody in our church? And we're putting a bit of time into thinking that through, and thinking, actually, is there a a short course or something that could be used in a church, not necessarily delivered by us, but by an elder or by somebody that says, what does this look like? Yeah. Are there people in our churches that we haven't accessed yet that got gifting that's kind of untried, untested? And I'm quite excited to see that as a next step of thinking, yeah, wouldn't it be brilliant to have a resource that the churches could use that could help in this area of identification? And I think sometimes leaders are just not good at picking those things out of a crowd, you know?
I think that's right. I think one of the challenges there is you've got to be careful that the elders are still leading the church, because that's the biblical pattern. So I think one of the challenges is when church leaders delegate administration, actually the administrators then start to say, well, hang on a minute, you're not following the policy. And actually by default, the policies begin to run the church rather than the elders. And that's why that partnership is so important, isn't it? Elders and trustees cannot absolve themselves of responsibility for these matters relating to the administration and the policies, because if they do, what they'll end up doing is having capable administrators saying, well, actually you haven't followed it in X, Y, and Z ways. And they'll feel straitjacketed, if you like, by that, which is not what we want at all. We want these policies to be freeing to help the church do great ministry. So I think that's one of the challenges, because you could be tempted to say, let's just identify a details person. But the problem with that is if they're not able to separate the details from the reality of church ministry, that they might not be a helpful administrator for your church. And I think just working out what that looks like, I agree it's not straightforward. I guess what I'm saying is, I think sometimes churches can pick the wrong people to be administrators inadvertently. With the right heart, they're not trying to do it wrong or anything like that, but actually that person's not the right person, because they don't really have an understanding of the sharp end of ministry, if I can put it like that. So I think that that's something that needs careful thought. I don't know if that's helpful.
That makes a really good point. It really does, Phil. It really does make a good point. Because, we're not just looking for people who are OCD or are good at organizing, who are tidy, you know, all of those things. We are looking for people who are spiritual, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
We're looking for people who love the church, love the gospel, that actually see this ministry as a supporting ministry, as a releasing ministry to our elders. If you've got that absent, then you are going to go into some trouble there, aren't you? And feel like you're being straitjacketed. So finding the right person is absolutely key, isn't it?
Yeah,
it really is.
And I do think that somebody who's got an understanding of what ministry looks like is helpful in that, because then they will be able to help church leaders to prioritize the kind of areas of administration that need the most support, because otherwise you just dive into policy after policy after policy without really the buy-in of the leaders, and that's not helpful either, I think.
Yeah, and I think it does, doesn't it? It takes leaders to take an interest in these things as well, in this policy, that actually you are responsible to oversee these things, and you may not be implementing them on a day-to-day basis, but unless you've read it, unless you've engaged with it, unless it really does describe how we want to work together, then we are going to get into some difficulties we all know churches, don't we? They've had a deacon in place who, this is her thing or their thing, and you find it hard to move them on, and you find it hard to kind of really, you know, bring the gospel to bear, to bring change into certain things. So I do hear that caution, but I wouldn't want that caution to stop us from actually engaging with the topic as well. Do you know what I mean? It's a hard balance, isn't it?
Absolutely. I don't know if you've come across the Five Voices stuff. I don't know if you looked. Right. Yeah. So there's some stuff on the FIC website about it that Ray Evans, our church leadership consultant, has written. But essentially, it says that everyone speaks with one of five voices. And actually, if you have a good mix of the voices on your team, that will really help you to forge forward in ministry. And the voices just very quickly are, and there's the creative voice. That's the person who's really creative in the way they think about and problem solving. And there's the pioneer voice. That is, we want to get to the goal. We want to get there well.
Yeah.
I've got to try and remember them all now, which is going to be a challenge. There's the guardian. So that the guardian is the one who's always really super cautious about everything. There's the nurturer. A lot of pastors are nurturers. They just want to help care for people and make sure that people are cared for. And then there is the connector, and that's the networker, the person who likes to connect folk together. And actually, if you have each of those five voices on a team, that can really help you as you forge forward. And it helps you to know how to lead your people, because everyone in your church will speak with one of the five voices as well. And some will have a mix of different voices, and just knowing how to use those voices, listen to those voices. And I think that's really important in this conversation as well, because the temptation might be to just appoint an Uber guardian as your administrator.
Yeah.
But actually, if you had somebody who was more of a nurturer tendency, for example, or even a connector who can help think about, you know, where can we get external support with these kind of things, if you that might also help as you think about how to identify some of those who could be gifted in the area of administration.
Yeah, that's good. I think also the creative one is you know, I've met lots of really good administrators who are really creative in how do we steward the resources that we've got in the best possible way, and you know, some phenomenal examples of that where they've really just, how have you managed to do that on that budget? Do you know what I mean? They really have just produced something really excellent. And there's some really excellent practice out there of people, and love it. Well, Phil, it's great to chat to you, mate. Thanks for jumping on the podcast. Thanks for
very good to be here.
The FIC for supporting the church office and partnering together. I know you guys have kindly provided some funding, and we hope that this partnership is going to be a blessing to your churches in FIC and a wider scope. And I love the fact that you have a kingdom mindset, and that's really what I want to continue to do. How do we, you know, there are, I think, something like 135 different countries that have accessed the church office and downloaded something. And you think, okay, this is really good that there are, you know, churches that are using it, that we're serving wider than just ourselves or just the UK. And maybe churches have got to work harder. How do you apply a loan policy in Africa? That's going to look very different. But it's really good. So thanks for your partnership. No, thanks for your help.
Keep doing what you're doing, Gavin. And it's great to see the policies being made available more widely and people using them, downloading them. I mean, it can only serve churches, which we're just delighted about. And I gave you a plug on UCB Radio just before Christmas as well, talking about how it's available to churches free of charge. So yeah, I mean, we're just really grateful for your generosity, brother.
Mate, it's great to partner. Great to do it. Well, enjoy the rest of your week. And if you're listening to the podcast, this is your first time, then thanks so much for joining us and engaging in this conversation. And we've got 75, I believe, podcasts that we've done talking about different topics behind the scenes in Christian ministry, in church ministry. So please check that out. They're all available on the website. There's documents and templates that you can use. They might be a really good starting point just to give you a bit of confidence. Say, here's the next step we need to take as a church. Here's the next policy we might need to think about. And we'd love to serve you at the church office. If you've got any questions for me or Phil, please get in contact at questions@thechurchoffice.co.uk. We'd love to have a conversation and connect with you. If you'd like to find out more about the FIC, then please check out their website. We love it. And we will see you again next time on the podcast. All right. Goodbye, everyone.